WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Biden has announced a deal to pause the fighting in Gaza.
It's a three-phase deal based on the ceasefire agreement the president introduced last spring.
I'm deeply satisfied. This day has come, finally come.
During phase one,
fighting in Gaza will stop.
Then comes the first release of hostages,
including women and elderly, and the wounded.
Phases two and three will include a permanent end to the war, release of all living hostages, and the release of remains. Most of the deal will be implemented during the next administration. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Attorney General, Pam Bondi, went before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. She was asked about Trump's promise to pardon people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th, 4 years ago.
If confirmed, and if asked to advise the president, I will look at each and every file, but let me be very clear in speaking to you. I condemn any violence on a law enforcement officer in this country.
Secretary of State nominee Marco Rubio's hearing was interrupted by hecklers.
Pause.
Back to order.
I get bilingual protests, which I think is an inch too cool.
A lot of the hearing focused on the U.S.'s relations with China, which Rubio called the most potent and dangerous near-peer adversary this nation has ever confronted. The search is on for a cop killer in Houston. Mayor John Whitmire says Brazoria County Sheriff's Deputy Jesus Jesse Varga was shot in the head while serving a warrant to a repeat offender.
This afternoon, we lost a local hero.
The suspect ran from the scene. Women's college basketball teams that make it to March Madness will finally be paid, like the men's teams have for years. Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz has details.
Starting this March, women's basketball teams will get something called performance units. A women's basketball team that reaches the Final Four could bring its conference roughly $1.25 million over the next 3 years in financial performance rewards. In the first year, $15 million will be rewarded to teams out of the fund, and that'll grow to $25 million by 2028.
Last year's women's championship game drew more TV viewers than the men's. The FDA is banning the use of red dye 3 in food and medications. Dr. Peter Lurie runs the Center for Science and the Public Interest.
Over three decades ago, a series of industry-conducted studies in rats clearly showed that this chemical, red 3, was associated with thyroid cancers.
Red dye 3 is found in everything from candy to ice cream to nacho chips. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The elections may have passed, but some actions that were taken before them still linger here in central Wisconsin today. 8 Wausau citizens have filed a formal ethics complaint against Mayor Doug Dinney with the City of Wausau Ethics Board. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign states they're alleging improper conduct in his handling of the ballot drop box during the week of September 23, 2024.
And welcome back. It is the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. K5 Construction, a family-owned and operated custom builder in central Wisconsin that stands out from the rest for its commitment to quality and excellence. From design and planning on to the final construction, K5 Construction delivers superior results on every project. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes, and time for our student-athlete guest for this week. From the Central Wisconsin Storm hockey team, very happy to welcome senior Ava Roding. Ava, thank you for coming on by.
Yeah, thank you, Chad.
Absolutely, and you came right from practice. So it's always great to have it just work out nicely when you come on by. I guess to start off with, obviously the Storm have a great pedigree, great winning tradition. You've been around two state championship teams already in your career. How would you judge so far this year? Obviously, you've been a team that's been winning a lot of games. You've been right up near the top of the state rankings. How would you judge the season so far for the Central Wisconsin Storm?
Yeah, our motto is actually this year, it's pressure is privilege. We thought that this would be good because it kind of just shows that, like, there are high stakes. Our team has a very kind of high, like, expectation for excellence. And that's how it's always been. But kind of recognizing that that is a privilege and it's not something to kind of cower away from. So kind of like establishing that throughout our team has been really like essential for our success and for the freshmen coming in, because we do have a very young team. Mm-hmm. But kind of, you know, just setting the expectations high and expecting that, you know, we're going to go back to state, we're going to go and compete hard every single game has been definitely very important this year for us, especially as like seniors and upperclassmen.
You've won two state championships already. I mean, that's to say it, and you're still going strong. What were those two experiences like? I guess first as a freshman being around it and being out there, and then last year as a junior. Were they similar? Were they different? Was one more special than the other? How would you judge those state championships?
I mean, obviously, you know, winning a state championship is winning a state championship, and they're both, you know, extremely special moments that are, like, unforgettable. But I would say they are distinct in their own ways. Last year as a junior, I was an upperclassman. I was also a captain. So kind of having that role in the team meant that I was doing more every single day. I was putting more work in, and there was a lot more struggle and kind of things that we had to come back from, I think. The road to state last year was not easy, but I think that it made it all the more rewarding, and it was just completely different than our freshman year in that aspect. But, you know, there's no better feeling than winning a state championship, and it's totally hard to, you know, compare the two.
Well, and you mentioned you're a captain, and you mentioned you have a youthful team. Is that how you describe them? Mm-hmm. Is it what's your role? Is that ever difficult to be in those leadership roles? Because you're already trying to, you know, do your job, help make your team the best, and then you take on extra responsibility. Do you enjoy that role? Is that something you look forward to? Take great pride in that leadership role?
I mean, yeah, 100%. I feel really lucky that my teammates, you know, trust me with that, and I know that there's very high expectations for me, But obviously, you know, there's some days that are very hard and there's some weeks that are hard and you're kind of like, you know, am I doing this whole thing right? Like, am I doing what I should be doing? And that's, you know, extremely challenging to kind of deal with. And it's the whole, like, you know, am I good enough? Am I really, should I really be put in this position? But at the end of the day, it's also, you know, the most rewarding experience because there's nothing like, you know, the feeling of winning state after everything that you've gone through and everything that you had to go through and kind of leading your teammates to that.
It would be, I think, even a bigger challenge to be a leader or a captain for the Central Wisconsin Storm because of the co-op aspect. When you have multiple schools, when you have, I mean, what, four schools is it right now? Is it East, West, Everest, and Mosinee? Is there anybody else involved in it at this point? Or the Wave, I guess. Is,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I guess you can say that as well. But is that add to the challenge? Because so many, in a, I would say in a, call it a normal situation where it's one school for a team, you see everybody in the hallways or at lunch or in, during class. Is that, does that make it a more difficult in terms of, well, either leading or even when there are issues, because every team has their issues, does it make it more difficult?
I think maybe to an extent. I just think it's kind of funny because, like, today after practice, our coach came in and she was like, Mosinee, you're dismissed at this time. Everest, you're dismissed at this time. And I think it's definitely harder for the coach because she has to deal with a lot more, you know, athletic directors and a lot of that kind of stuff. But honestly, I think for us it might be more of an advantage because, you know, it's really interesting to see how, like, after practice or after school, we go to practice and we have, like, five girls who are, you know, talking to their teammates and like, you'll never guess what happened today at school. And it's just, I don't know, I think that kind of, you know, being separated a little bit does help us in the long run because we are all, like, sisters and we all do fight. But, yeah, it's also, you know, kind of a really cool thing though to see your friends and teammates in the hallways and talk to them in classes and have them help you with other classes, and that is definitely something that I think I would miss.
And you know, you talk about the tradition of the Storm, the two state titles, the pride that everybody has in that program, and you've been around it already a little bit from your junior to senior year. How much did that make for your off season and what you wanted to get out? Because everybody wants to end with the state title. You know, that's the highest accomplishment you can have, and that's, you walk off into the sunset after you finish it off for your high school career. Did that drive you to kind of really dive into this off season and put forth your best foot to make it everything you want it to be for this season?
Yeah, there's a ton of work that goes in the off season. Just even like outside of practicing and like the physical aspect, there's a lot of kind of mental things that we have to kind of like put in throughout the team. And as seniors and as captains, we have captains practices in the off season because our coach, you know, can't contact with us, and that really like adds on a whole other aspect of like establishing ourselves as leaders and, you know, trying to get the whole team together and on the same page with things, which is important, and kind of setting the pace for the whole season, which is really important. But yeah, we usually do work very hard in the off season. We have tons of off ice things and like workouts that we do at the gym, or we go like up, like hikes up a mountain and stuff like that. And then we also have a lot of girls. Probably like 70% of our team are on some kind of club team, which they're, you know, skating from August to November as well, which helps everyone a lot too.
Again, we're talking to Ava Rohde, senior for the Central Wisconsin Storm, senior at Wausau West High School, our student athlete guest here this evening on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Let's talk about you on the ice. A year ago, you were second team All-State selection, defenseman, but also somebody that's very much involved on the offensive side. How would you describe your game? What are the biggest strengths of your game on the ice?
That's a good question. I would say recently I've been trying to be more offensive just because I've been told a lot from coaches and other people that I play very defensively, which is obviously a good thing, but I've, you know, been trying to expand my horizons a little bit, and I think that you can probably see that in my points this year versus last year. But I would say I think my strongest part of my game, I think I have a good gap usually, and I think I step up pretty well and play aggressively. But I think that I can obviously work on, you know, kind of judging like when I should do that, when I shouldn't do that. and sometimes it's not always the best play. I really like playing on the penalty kill. I just think it's so fun. I love it so much. Really gets me going. I love the penalty kill. And
why? Let's jump in there, because I mean, you're not the only one. I've talked to coaches and others who talk about those who just, it fits. It fits to be on that unit, and the job to keep the puck out of the net when you're down a player on the ice. What is it about the penalty kill that, obviously, just even the way you talked about it, it gets you going?
I think a big part of it is that the stakes are, I don't want to say low, because that's not always true, but you know, you're kind of like the underdog in the situation where it's like when you're on the power play, there's a lot of pressure that you have to score and you have to do something, versus on the penalty kill, you're like trying to defeat the odds, right, of them scoring. And also, I'm generally kind of, like I said, a really defensive player. So, you know, getting sticks in lanes, protecting the net is something that I'm really good at and I enjoy doing most of the part. And I think that we have an awesome penalty kill and we score a lot of the penalty kill, which is, you know, super fun. There's nothing like scoring a shorthanded goal.
And you mentioned, playoffs are right around the corner. Tough sectional. Never anything easy. You guys are always challenging yourself in your schedule and in the competition you guys play. Looking at your team right now with all the stuff coming around and wanting to get as far as you can, what do you think that, you know, after all the games that you guys have had already, team is doing really well? And maybe something like, hey, there's still a little bit, we got to iron out this little bit yet to be the team that we want to be when we roll the playoffs and try to make that run for the state championship.
One thing that we, especially as captains, have been implementing this year is positivity. We work really hard on, you know, keeping the environment on the bench and in the locker room positive at all times, because we've kind of learned that, you know, beating ourselves up, talking to our teammates in a negative way does not in any way help our team perform. So that's something that I think that we've been working on and has been helping us a lot. And you can just kind of see it with our line mates. Like, everyone's connecting really well. Passes are being made in very, you know, aesthetically pleasing ways. And it just looks really good all the time. But one thing I think we can work on, I think, is just kind of like not, like when we get scored on, it's, you know, hard to come back. And we have to kind of take that as motivation and use it, you know, to get better and to score, as opposed to like being like, oh, like we're not going to win this game, because we're not usually used to being put in situations where we have to come back, and where we have to, you know, kind of fight to win. And that's something I think we can work on definitely, is, you know, not getting too in our heads whenever we get scored on, and just, you know, kind of coming back from that.
Did all right. The last game I did was against Gentry, and a couple of goals in the last 2 minutes to get you back to even after having to dig out of a hole for a long time. So maybe that is the process that is working. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
And something that's always, again, unique about the Storm is the amount of travel that you have to do, because, you know, everybody else has the, like, the Valley Conference here in central Wisconsin. So you'd have a road game at East if you were at West, or Everest, so short trips. The Storm, all of your schools are together, so you have to go a long way. And like this weekend, you have another overnight trip. You have a number of overnight trips during the season. What are the challenges of that, and what are the advantages of that, spending so much time together as a team?
I mean, the challenges definitely lie in, like, our schoolwork and getting all of that done. We miss a lot of school, generally, and it's kind of impossible to get anything done on the bus, especially on overnights. You know, the girls are very, we have a lot of personality on this team, so it's hard to get anything done, which is definitely a challenging part. A good part is that, you know, spending time together is always good. Being with your teammates is always good, and the girls really enjoy their time together on the bus. You know, everyone in the back is just crazy, and it's so funny to listen to, but even if you're trying to do schoolwork, it's, you know, it's okay.
Hockey sounds like it occupies a lot of your time. Do you play any other sports?
No, I just play hockey.
Okay. Then that ends my question on the multi-sports. So, well, let's take it, though. Athletes in general, very busy. And sometimes I think you just need, you know, you talked about it, it's hard to get homework done because we have that downtime with our teammates, and that's a lot of fun. For yourself, what do you do to de-stress, get away from that time? What's all athletes, I think, have time where they have to just mellow out and figure out time to not focus on the sport. What's that free time for you that you enjoy?
Honestly, I don't get much free time. In my free time, I would say I you know, hang out with my teammates. I mean, my like five of my teammates went to Sylvan Hill after the game on Saturday. Yeah, so we hang out a lot. We go to other games, and we, most of our time is actually spent together. But I guess when I'm kind of by myself, I just really prioritize like taking care of myself and eating good and drinking well and, you know, kind of sleeping well, just because all of that impacts your performance so much and it impacts your day-to-day life so much. And that's something that I didn't really do a very good job of when I was younger, and it definitely kind of came back and got me later at the end of the season. So that's something that I've been working really hard on.
And you talked about hanging out with teammates and obviously hockey being a big part of your life. When as a senior, when it's all said and done, okay, because it goes by so fast. It's just, that's what I find remarkable about it. The season goes by fast, the career goes by fast, and then you're on to your next journey. What will you miss most about it when it's gone? The high school portion.
Yeah. And maybe this is cliche, but, you know, definitely just spending time with your teammates. And I think that that's something that we all take for granted. Everyone takes it for granted. And every single senior has said this at the end of their year all the time. But there's just something so special, and definitely I don't think you can find it anywhere else other than the environment of like high school sports, of spending time with your teammates every single day, getting to know them like no other person, you know, getting bonds with them or strengthening bonds with them that are, you know, like nothing can affect that or nothing can make you lose your friendships with them. And I have a lot of friends on the team and who I, you know, love like my sister, and I never had a sister, and it's just like I don't imagine it feeling any other way, and that's something I'm gonna miss a lot.
How old were you when you first started playing hockey?
Four.
What was it about the game as you were very young and you started playing it, and obviously the way you talk about it, it's a lot on your mind, that it's something you think a lot about. What was it about the game that drew you in to keep on striving for excellence within it and to spend so much time with it? You said you go to other games. I mean, obviously it sounds like you love hockey beyond the competitive aspect. What is it about the game of hockey that has driven you over these years?
I mean, when I was little, you know, I've always loved to win. I've always loved to be good at something. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think something that really has driven me is just how unique of a game hockey is. You know, there's nothing like it. There's so many different aspects that you need to master to be really good at it. There's the skating, the passing, the stick handling, the shooting, the thinking skills, the communication skills, and being good at hockey and learning how to master those things takes you on so many good levels on like other things in life. So when you can figure out how to talk to your teammates, you can figure out how to talk to your coworkers or your teachers or other people. You know, when you work hard at something and you spend hours honing up your skills at skating or stick handling, that carries over into every other aspect of your life, which I think is really unique to hockey.
Again, we're talking to Ava Rohde of the Central Wisconsin Storm here on 98.9 WXCO. What's your favorite class in school?
I'm a really big humanities person. I love the humanities. So I would say right now I really like my AP European History class.
Mm. You were the number five. Is there any meaning to that, or is it just what you got assigned?
I've always been five, I think. I was like looking through my camera roll, and there's a picture of me when I was like four with a number five jersey on. When I was younger, and we still are, but our family is a big like UND hockey fan. Mm-hmm. We love that that team, and there was a player, and his name was Che Genaway, and he was number five. Mm. And we really liked him, and he was a great player, and I think that's why I picked five.
Well, with the favorite class you listed, with higher education, do you have a field you're looking to go into? Something, I know you could be, I mean, people can be totally undecided too at this point, but is there something that from your classes or from goals that you want to accomplish that are going to steer you towards a certain occupation or job you want to have?
I would say in general, I'm really good at reading and writing. And I like history classes, I like English classes, and kind of stuff like that. So I think when I go to college, I would like to major in something like along the lines of political science or history or English or something like that. And then I think I want to go to law school, but we'll see how that, you know, how that works out.
As a political science major myself, that's a good way to go. I loved it. I loved it. So, do you have a favorite rival? Is there a team that you enjoy playing the most?
I mean, I would say Hayward. In the most respectful way possible, I hate that team. I'm not over our loss a few years ago. I'm not over them kicking us out, and I don't think I ever will be. And every single time we play them, I just have something that I want to beat them so bad. You know, that's a team that whenever we step on the ice, like, we want to beat them.
That's an interesting aspect you hear from, anyway, coaches, players, whoever it may be. You've won 2 state championships. Yeah, the 1 year you lost. Which do you think about more?
The 1 year we lost.
Interesting.
and how... I guess share with us how awesome is it to be down at state, because percentage wise, there's a lot of teams, players, people that never experienced that throughout their high school career. They get to do multiple times just to go do it once, just to even be there. It's such a neat factor to be a player, coach, and part of a program to get down there. Of all the accomplishments and efforts and time it takes to make that happen, I think it's a huge deal and creates just outstanding memories from that portion of people's time in high school. What's the special part of getting down there? What do you love most about that makes you want to recoup that again this year and make it happen for a third time?
I mean, it's an experience like no other. You know, I don't think I'll ever be able to experience something like that once I graduate high school again. Just like the feeling of stepping off the bus and going into the rink, and all, like, you know, you get a lanyard that says your name on it, and it's so cool, and there's a bunch of different like functions that you have to get to go to as a team, and you just feel really important. But I mean, just all the work that it takes to get there and everything that we accomplished that other teams didn't get to, and kind of just being able to look back on your season and be like, oh wow, so all of that skating that we did, all of that work that coach put us through was for a reason, and all that struggle that we had to overcome and all the adversity wasn't just for nothing, and there was a point to it. And just being able to, you know, like I said, look back and kind of understand it comes full circle, I think.
Anything else before our final question?
Go for it. You're the hockey guy.
Well, the question is, well, I know. It's the same for everybody.
I'm going to divvy it up to the hockey guy to do it.
But as a senior, and obviously you've been part of this program now for 4 years, you know, coming down the stretch of your final, you know, go around in high school athletics. You said it, you got some very young players, and that's one of the things that's always interesting. You see a lot of freshmen that have been on the ice for your team. What piece of advice do you give a freshman based on what you've learned over these years that they should be thinking about as they start their journey that you've already gone so far into? What piece of advice would you give a freshman just starting off that you, based on what you've learned?
I think that I would, you know, tell my freshmen that it's never, never, ever a showing of weakness to ask for help. I think as someone who's very independent, I try to do everything myself all the time, and it doesn't always work out for me. And talking to your coaches, talking to your teammates, and being able to lean on them is never weak, and it's never kind of a matter of, can I handle this myself? And you shouldn't have to. And that's part of being on a team. And I think that it's really important that all freshmen and everyone on a team kind of works together, and they all, you know, build each other up and not tear each other down. And being able to kind of be vulnerable and talk to your teammates and talk to your coaches is what makes a team, you know, click and be great.
Terrific. Ava Rohde, Central Wisconsin Storm, senior, captain, defenseman, Storm, 14-3, if I'm not mistaken, at this point of the season. Hardly 17 games already. It goes by so very quickly. We'll have the Storm on Saturday right here on 98.9 WXCO down in the Mequon, I believe it is, the Lakeshore Lightning.
Yeah.
maybe you know this. I've seen it listed as the varsity being first and other times the varsity being second. The varsity's playing first on Saturday. Is that correct or not? I've seen it both ways, and it's like I thought maybe I'd ask you.
I think so.
Okay.
If it says that, probably.
Yeah, so.
Or I don't know, because yeah, sometimes our JV plays first.
Right, I know. That's one of the odd things.
I don't know. That's a tough question.
I will find out. Make sure I get there in time. But Ava, thank you very much, and congrats on all the success, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to take a quick time out and then come back with more Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO.
Weekend news and notes from the hardwood feature upsets and big games. I'm Travis Wilson, and this is a WISSports.net Minute brought to you by Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. More high school sports news after this. You may have heard of Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells, one of the country's premier destinations for youth sports and events, but did you know that Just a Game does so much more? Just a Game also delivers end-to-end apparel, equipment, and event solutions. With their state-of-the-art screen printing and embroidery facility, they can help with branding for your team and business items, including uniforms, apparel, and more. Just a Game also offers digital services that include a cashless digital platform and event live streaming. Just a Game has also added a second brand new facility in Reedsburg. Find more information at justagame.com. The winter sports season continues to grind on as we move into the middle of January. On Saturday, the state's top-ranked girls basketball team went down as Pewaukee went on the road for a non-conference game but fell to Arrowhead in a top-five showdown in Division I. The Warhawks got 35 points from junior standout Natalie Cuso. Also last week, defending Division V state champion Albany Monticello won a close one over rival Argyle Pecatonica 51-46, getting 15 points from Heidi Olson, along with 11 by Abby Hollis, and 10 points and 10 rebounds from Delana Trumpy. In boys basketball action last week, there were a couple big-time games in the Fox Valley on Friday night. D1 7th-ranked Appleton North defeated 8th-ranked Kaukauna in an FBA showdown when Nathan Ramos hit his 10th three-pointer of the game in the closing seconds and then stole the ball at the end to secure a 75-74 win. Ramos finished with 42 points. DePere rallied from a halftime deficit to defeat Ashwaubenon 83-82 on Friday, despite 42 points from Ashwaubenon senior Amari Allen. The Redbirds got 35 points from senior Badgers commit Zach Kinziger. Eau Claire Memorial took control of the Big Rivers Conference, beating Rice Lake 39-38 in a low-scoring contest that puts the Old Aves alone on top of the league standings. This has been a WISSports.net Minute. Check us out online at WISSports.net.
And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, if you've missed any of our programs, you can go to our website, WXCO.fm, click on air, and then you'll be able to go and find the Big High School Sports Show, all of our high school sports broadcasts and everything right there. And also, if you... miss it, you can, if you're on Spotify or Apple or Google Podcasts, just subscribe and you'll never miss an episode of the Big High School Sports Show. With Jeff Grest, I'm Chad Holmes, and again, another terrific student athlete to talk to. And again, that's one of the things that's so nice about the program, to have an opportunity to sit down for 20 minutes or whatever it is and really delve into things with some of these student athletes and, of course, the coaches as well.
Well, it just gives you a picture into the how they process things, what they're seeing out of their teams. I always enjoy whatever the coaches and players get to share about the successes in their programs, and it comes out of their eye. Hey, it's always genuine. I like that authenticity to what they're saying and what they're sharing about how the high school sports are on their end.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little hockey right now, and start with the Central Wisconsin Storm, because they are 14-3 on the season. Last week, they played games on Friday and Saturday. They were at home. In fact, we talk about all the trips they took. It was a nice couple of weeks because they played 5 home games in a row, and they do have these long road trips, and they have these overnight stays. And when they are home, it's something I know that everybody enjoys. And on Friday night, they beat the Eau Claire area 2-1 in overtime. Gabby Heiser and Jaden Yurkowski had goals for the Storm. They had a 43-19 edge in shots, but needed that overtime goal by Yurkowski to win it. And then on Saturday, a little less stressful, as they defeated Hudson by a score of 6-0. Heiser had a big day. She had 4 goals in that one. Jaden Yurkowski also scored, and Sophie Boleyn as well. So 14-3 right now for the Storm, ranked number 3 in the state in the WisconsinPrepHockey.net coaches poll. And this weekend, again, back-to-backs. On Friday night, they travel to Beaver Dam. And then on Saturday, down in Mequon against the Lakeshore Lightning. And I will be hitting the road Saturday morning, bright and early, heading down to Mequon, and I will have that game live for you. Again, I've seen it listed both, but I believe the varsity's actually playing first at 1:45. So I'll be on the air at 1:30 for that one, right here on 98.9 WXCO and online. High school boys hockey, Wisconsin Valley Conference, you got Stevens Point, the number one ranked team in the state. They are still unblemished. They're 5-0 in the conference, 14-0 overall. Wausau West, winners of 6 games in a row. They're now 12-4 on the season, and they are 4-1 in the conference. DC Everest is on a win streak as well. They're 12-5 overall and 4-2 in the league. Wisconsin Rapids, 2-3 in conference, 5-9 overall. East Merrill United is 7-10 overall, 1-5 in the conference, and Marshfield, 0-5 in league, 6-10 overall. Some of the action last week, it was a busy week for Wausau West. They had 4 games in 5 days. It was a busy week for me because I did all those games. But on Thursday, they defeated Wisconsin Rapids 6-1. And then Friday, they beat Eau Claire Memorial 3-0. Julian Scalcucci had 33 saves in that game. West came from behind on a pair of third-period goals by Cooper DePoit to edge Middleton Saturday 5-4. And then on Monday night, went over to Chippewa Falls and defeated Chi-High 5-0. So West has been moving up. And right now, I would say they're in position to perhaps get a first-round bye in the sectional, maybe a number 3 seed. Again, plenty of work to do. Stevens Point and Hudson also in that bracket of right now, I would say, is above Wausau West. But Warriors making a move. And this week, tomorrow night, some Wisconsin Valley Conference play, 3 games. EMU is at Stevens Point. I'm actually curious about that game because you as a coach know when somebody kind of pours it on. In the first time around, Spash beat EMU 19-0.
Yeah.
And that was not good.
Poster board material.
That's not good. I don't. I mean, that's just not good. And I know that Smash is that good, you know. But at the same time, there's got to be an edge tomorrow night, I think, for EMU, because you just don't like that.
Well, that should be right in the pregame. That should be being preached all week leading into that game. I think that's that's material to come out and get in a good street fight, because you want to show yourself of what you're capable of and not feel like you're defenseless out on the ice.
DC Everest will look to continue their win streak at home against Wisconsin Rapids. And Wausau West is home against Marshfield tomorrow night. And that game can be heard live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and also on the Civic Media app. So if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, do so. You can listen to all of our programming. And then we have the alternate streams both on the website and at and on the Civic Media app. So again, if you go to WXCO.FM, you just click on in the upper left corner, Sports 2. You'll be able to hear me live at 6:45 tomorrow night. Tom Weaver will have girls basketball with Edgar hosting Marathon here on 98.9 WXCO. But again, if you want to catch that Wausau West broadcast, 6:45 for the pregame on the Sports 2 stream tomorrow evening. Other games of interest in high school boys hockey, I would say, is Stevens Point against University School. U School is a very good program. They beat Wausau West earlier, so maybe a challenge for the undefeated Panthers. And basically, it's all lining up for a week from tomorrow when West goes to Stevens Point. Not that I'm counting down the days, but it's going to be.
That was going to be my next question.
It's going to be a packed house. It's going to be just a massive, massive game. Conference title perhaps on the line, so that's coming up in 8 days.
Does what would it take for is it going to be hard then, just based on record wise, for West to get a higher seed even if they win that, because they would split then?
You certainly could make an argument, because later in the season, I think you've probably been there too,
yeah,
when you win the second match, you say, hey,
that's right, what everybody now remembers.
Right now we're better.
It's living in the now.
We went into their barn and we beat them the second time. You know, that's definitely an argument that could be made.
Sense.
Let's talk about girls high school basketball right now. And let me pull out my sheets. There's so many pieces of paper here. Wisconsin Valley Conference, Stevens Point in first place at 5-0, 11-3 overall. Marshfield 4-1, 5-8 overall. Then DC Everest is now third at 3-2, 5-8 overall. West is fourth at 3-3, 4-12 overall. Rapids 2-3 in the conference, 4-8 overall. Merrill 1-4 and 4-10. And East is 0-5 and 0-9. And plenty of activity in the Valley both last night and on Friday. One of the big games was, we mentioned this last week, the top two teams, Stevens Point and Marshfield. And Spash won in Marshfield. It was a battle, 51-45. Jada Seibert had 17. Lydia Johnson, 15. Leah Owey, 10 for Spash. Zayda Kolbeck, 15. Emma Ridgeway, 13 for Marshfield. And then Stevens Point backed it up with a 73-36 win over Rapids last night, while Marshfield doubled up Wausau West 68-34. But then that actually snapped a six-game losing streak for Marshfield, but they've been playing a lot of tough non-conference games. But that was a huge win for Spash. We talked about it, that I think for Stevens Point to be had, that was sort of a game that Marshfield or anybody in the conference would have needed, because right now Stevens Point definitely in the catbird seat.
Right, and you know, they're 11-3 overall, 5-0 record at the top of that conference, and kind of solidified themselves to say, you know, we've talked that they're probably they should be at the top based on what they've done, the way they're playing in their non-conference games, and that just went out and, like I said, solidified it that they own that spot, and they turned around and beat up Rapids on Tuesday, and they're going to continue that because they play East on Friday.
And for DC Everest, again, they're up to third place. I mean, that's I think it's been a really solid start for Lauren Bullis in her first year.
Well, and I think, as you know, as coaches, when you take over a program, unless Everest was down in the bottom of the conference, you don't know if things are bare, what you got to reestablish. But this start to the season is always so important, to start setting your foundation for the program of the tenure that you want to put in. So you want to establish things built on your philosophies. And I think anytime you can create a better season than the season before, whether it's connections with the players, whether it's win-loss record, whatever it might be, you know, they're gradually creeping out. They're out of the bottom. They're sitting in that third place spot at a 3-2 mark, which is a good spot for them to be in, since they paid their dues the last couple seasons.
Yep, exactly right. Great Northern Conference. You got Lakeland still atop the league at 6-0, 11-4 overall. Mosin East, one game back at 5-1, 10-3 overall. Rhinelander, a tough week. They lost a couple of conference games. They're now 4-2 in the conference, 9-5 overall. Medford fourth at 3-3, 6-8 overall. Tomahawk fifth in the GNC on the girls' side at 2-4, 5-7 overall. North and Pines 1-5 in league, 3-10 overall. And Antigo still looking for that first win in conference, 0-6, and they're 1-10 overall. Rhinelander ran into both Mosinee and Lakeland. And Friday, Lakeland beat Rhinelander 62-28. Christina Wimette, 27. Ava Evenhouse had 17. And then last night, Mosinee beat Rhinelander 65-24. Taylan Jerschley had 18. Peyton Jerschley, 13. Auburn Clark had a back issue, did not play for Rhinelander. And obviously, that was a big factor. But Lakeland and Mosinee did what they need to do to get ready for their second matchup in Mosinee.
Yeah, it's kind of played out the way that we thought it might, where, you know, Mosinee's only loss was to Lakeland. So we see that what they do when they get them the second time around.
They're playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, which is coming around really fast. So is it tomorrow or is it Friday? No big deal. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's the next conference game, so it doesn't matter. I was just asking.
You are right. Well, it is on Friday night. I made an assumption that was wrong. We want to be accurate around here.
That's what this is all about. Lakeland 6-0, Mosinee 5-1, and a chance to even it out for Mosinee and for Lakeland to take sole possession and ownership of that. Obviously, for Rhinelander, tough week with those last two losses, because it kind of knocks you out of that. It's a lot harder to make that ground up with Lakeland and Mosinee being so strong.
Right.
So, you know, good thing. And Lakeland, I thought, last night, nice win against Marshfield. What did they beat Marshfield 60-49?
So Monday,
a Valley Conference team.
And Wimette had 26 in that game, Evenhouse 13. And you're right, and that was a road game as well. And
yes.
Marshfield always, I mean, obviously Marshfield struggled in the non-conference, but they're still always a solid team with a terrific head coach.
Right. So doing a good spot to hold their spot, and Wimette doing the damage, and I think it's always a great battle with those two teams.
Merriwood South, you got Assumption undefeated, 7-0 in the conference, 10-1 overall. Stratford right there at 7-1 and 10-3. Auburndale, another game back at 6-2, 11-2. Marathon, 5-2 and 10-2. Edgar, 2-6, 6-10, and Newman, 1-7 and 1-9. It's a very interesting league in that Assumption expected to be right where they are. I think Stratford is showing that they're well worth it, worthy. Auburndale as well. Marathon is the big surprise to me. Again, obviously Coach Snyder's done it for two decades. He's an outstanding coach. I'm still wondering, and I hope he takes this the right way, but how much of this is smoke and mirrors and how much of it is that this team is really growing? But 10-2 is 10-2.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The record kind of stands for the proof that you want to see. And they're still sitting in a nice place in that conference. I mean, I think Assumption showing that they beat Stratford by 10 a couple weeks ago are up in the top echelon of that conference at 10-1 mark, 7-0 overall. And they're just rolling teams by the numbers that they're putting up on the board. You know, Stratford, Auburndale, Marathon are kind of sitting in that range to see who's going to fight for second, third, and fourth. There's just those spots are up for grabs. Those records are tight. They all have similar overall records. So it'll be interesting to see, do they get spoiled by somebody in the north, or does one of the bottom teams in the Marrowood South take one they're not supposed to? So it'll be interesting to see where Stratford, Auburndale, Marathon finish out in the middle of that pack.
Marrowood North has Phillips at 6-2, 10-2 overall. Prentice 5-3, 8-5. Rib Lake 4-4, 7-6. Athens and Abbotsford 2-6 in the conference. Shawamigan 0-8. And the difference right now is Phillips was the only crossover winner last weekend. And again, it shows again, you get that crossover game. And it means obviously, I think that, you know, later they'll may play somebody that, you know, maybe Prentice hasn't played or Rib Lake hasn't played yet. But when you do get those crossover wins and you're in the Marrowood North, it goes a long way.
Yep. And I think, and Phillips again standing strong based on the tradition they've had. They're 10-2 overall. Eckert's putting up over 20 points a game. I will say this. I watched both the Newman boys and girls play Phillips at the doubleheader up there. It was streamed through their the school district.
Right?
Because I couldn't remember the radio station you mentioned on the sister station. So
you could have sent me a text.
I know, but I found it, I saw it. It wasn't your broadcast, so I figured I could just go watching that. But I thought the Newman Catholic girls played them tough. It was a tight game. They ended up losing 38-51. But so Phillips had to earn that non-conference game to put them out ahead and be at that 6-2 mark.
CWC girls, and what a major, major win for Whitburn. Whitburn still undefeated, 12-0 overall, 6-0 in the conference. Bondiwell now 6-1 in the conference, 11-4 overall. Then you take a dip to Waiwega Fremont at 3-3 in the conference. Shayocton, Menominee Nation 3-4, Manawan, Amherst 2-4, Iola 1-6. As last night, Wittenberg, Burnawood whipped Bondiwell 63-40. Milena Granquist 19 points, 10 rebounds. Rory Salveson 14 points as well for the Chargers. We've been saying it all year that the Whitburn Bondiwell games, which was the Achilles heel for Whitburn last year in the conference, this Whitburn team, it looks like, you know, they got the experience, they got the talent, and right now they got the results.
The number in the score discrepancy is a statement win. I mean, when you can go and take, you know, 23, you take down the second place team in the conference and kind of
perfect.
Yeah, and kind of put them in their place. I mean, that's a nice win for Wittenberg Burnhamwood. So again, standing undefeated overall and in conference after a hard fought victory versus Bondiwell is good, and they're going to continue that because now, like you said, Bondiwell is second, Wittenberg is first, and after that, those two teams are going to win most of those games, and so they're just going to continue.
And that's
the
way it was last year.
Yes.
I mean, so they knew I think they probably both know that those are the two games that are determining the conference championship.
But you follow the averages on Granquist and Salveson. It's just a 1-2
punch.
Well,
Granquist is always a double-double, isn't she?
Yeah. So the numbers those two girls can put up, and when Coach from Wittenberg was in here last year, he
may have to get her back.
Yeah, that's what he. That's what. And I know I didn't want to mispronounce his name, so I'm not even going to try to say it. But when Coach was in here last year, he really praised those girls, how they feed off each other, and when, you know, it's just back and forth. I mean, that's a tough guard for any team to have to go against two players that they're trying to shut down and keep in check.
Yeah, I mean, again, this Whitburn program has just been knocking on the door, it seems like, for many years, and who knows? I'm gonna have to, you know, do a little research, go a little deeper in terms of their bracket, because sometimes it all depends on the bracket, doesn't it?
Does.
I mean, it really does. And So again, great job so far for Whitburn as they are 12-0. And then CWC North, you got Gresham 3-0, 6-6, Marion Tigerton 2-1, 8-5, Boulder and Northland Lutheran 0-2, Northland 4-6 overall. Northland did beat Port Edwards in a non-conference game Thursday, 71-39. They got 27 points and 10 rebounds from Jocelyn Adams. Abby Ostrowski at 14. And then last night, call it a defensive struggle, to be kind.
Yes, I was going to say low scoring game, but you can give the numbers on that. Go ahead.
29-25, Marion Tigerton. Again, big win for them. They're 2-1 in conference. Northland fell to 0-2, but 29-25. I hope it wasn't a night where they took the air out of the ball. But
It sets that offensive tone that we see most teams play with now just a little bit back. But that, you know, maybe it was a rough shooting night. Maybe the ball didn't fall in the hoop the way they wanted it to. But again, Northern Lutheran trying to find their way a little bit higher up in that conference as they're sitting at fourth place.
All right, let's look ahead as we got action coming up as we get, you know, middle part of January. We got a lot of conference activity going on. Let's talk about what's going on with the boys coming up this week, and starting with the Wisconsin Valley Conference. And a couple of league games on Friday night, and then basically a lot of non-conference games after that. You got Marshfield and Merrill and Rapids at Everest on Friday night. Then you got West in a non-conference game against Green Bay East Friday, a game that you can hear right here. And I expect you all to be listening in 7 o'clock sharp on Friday night right here on 98.9 WXCO. And then you have Spash and Marshfield going to what's called the Midwest Players Classic in La Crosse at the La Crosse Center. So playing in the big arena, Stevens Point takes on Mankato East, and of course Mankato in Minnesota. And then Marshfield takes on Wanakee on Saturday in that tournament. We talked to Coach Troy Pieper earlier, and they have a non-conference game on Saturday. Again, the back-to-back, Marshfield Friday night, and then Antigo, who's in their sectional bracket on Saturday. And then a lot of non-conference games in the Valley coming up on Tuesday. What jumps out?
I like kind of watching some of these schedules, like for Marshfield, when you play your conference game on Friday, and you turn around and did a non-conference game on Saturday. That starts getting you ready for some of that playoff tone.
In lacrosse, no less. That's a trek.
Yeah, so they're going to be moving. I'm interested, just because we had Coach Pieper on, I like hearing that chance for, like, you know, Coach Pieper, it should be low-key for it. We aren't supposed to win that game. We just got to go out and play, and good things can happen from that lack of pressure, obviously. And Marshfield's not going to want to lighten up at all, because they know what they control in terms of their destiny of winning that conference. So I'm interested to see that matchup. West, I think the next two games that they have in Green Bay East and Lakeland, they should handle those two teams from what I've seen. East has had an interesting one, because their last game was against West, so they've had a little bit of a long layoff.
Yeah.
And they're going to have Pines down in their building on January 21st, who I think they'll handle based on what they've done, but you just never know with Pines. We saw them play a little bit earlier. We're still trying to understand what their identity is, because all of a sudden they beat Mosney, but then they turn around and don't play well in the next game.
Medford.
So it's kind of like up and down a little bit with Pines.
With outside shooters, that's sometimes the case, right?
Yep. You know, yeah.
That was definitely. You in the day.
Sometimes. Those are kind of the Valley games. And still looking, after hearing, again, hearing Coach Pieper's description of Wisconsin Rapids, looking to see if they can get that first. Because it seems like they're on the fringe of it. And sometimes just getting that monkey off your back is, players can play a little tight, and they're fighting for a little hard, and sometimes that's when extra mistakes come. So I'm sure those kids are still trying to prove themselves in terms of that win category, so it'd be interesting to see if they can get it. But it isn't going to get any easier, because they've got to go to DC Everest, and then their non-conference game is Hortonville there. So
it's like, again, the schedule maker has not helped them out so far.
Not
this
at
year.
All. Yeah.
Great Northern Conference. I think the big game within the league is Medford at Rhinelander, the top two teams, and Medford a chance to move into a first place tie. Mosinee will try to bounce back against Lakeland on Friday night. Mosinee has a good non-conference game at Marathon on Monday night that we will have right here on 98.9 WXCO. As you look at, and you mentioned Rib Lake and Northern Pines, actually kind of an interesting game. What do you see with the GNC teams?
I think it'll be, you know, again, to see how Medford is, you know, they're 6-6 overall, 3-1, but like you said, they low in scoring. What is their identity? What can they do? They're well coached. They have players that are capable of winning basketball games.
Up and down would be perfectly put, because they have been, because they've lost some ugly games. Yeah. That's the thing that kind of jumps out. Sometimes you can lose games where, but when you see 21 points, it's like, what happened?
Well, and so as a coach, you're you're driving yourself to get those consistencies, and sometimes maybe you just know your team well and you got to figure out how they're going to show up, how they're going to play, what it is. So Coach Brown will have them prepared for the Rhinelander game because that's a big, but that kind of throws things into the, you know, it's because Medford's 3-1, Rhinelander's 5-0. That makes that whole conversation interesting at the top there if Medford gets that win. And for Mosny, I think
Medford's
it's
4-1, actually.
Are they 4-1? After last night's game. Okay. Well, even more interesting then. Sorry.
Since you corrected me, I thought
I appreciate it. But I will say this. We can blame that a little bit. I know. We throw that out on that with sports where we've got duplicate teams.
Well, you shouldn't blame them, though, at the same time, because they do provide so much information.
They do.
And also, I'm curious about Mosny, because they've had some good wins this year. They've had, I think losing at home last night is one that kind of probably sticks in the craw for Mosny. And again, I think they have some really good talent. I think they're still a very good basketball team. I'm curious to see them on Monday night.
Right. Well, and again, if Rhinelander beats Medford, they're back right in the second place. Yeah. And a little bit harder to creep up on two games on a team that's undefeated, but not one.
Not impossible.
Right. So they'll take Lakeland, I believe, on a Friday. And then I think that's a great I like those non-conference matchups where you jump across the conference. They're always fun to watch to see how teams are outside, because everybody can talk about comparisons, but until they actually play, I think it sets the tone a little bit for whose conference they think is better after that W.
Merriwood South, a huge, huge game. You talk about quite a week for Auburndale. It's that where you face Marathon and then you play Stratford, and they got the first part of it, and now Stratford goes to Auburndale on Friday. I guess that would be the big highlight of the Merriwood South, but generally, what do you think?
It's so hard to make any sort of prediction or analyze. These teams are well coached. They just wail on each other. I think when you go to that game, you're going to get it's going to be a lot of fun for the people spectating. Probably a little nerve wracking for the coaches.
And odds are it's going to be close.
Yeah. These teams know each other so well. The kids have played against each other for years. The same coaches are still doing these teams and working with them and taking on those leadership roles. So I think it's going to be a great game. I always like to think that you got to play a little bit better when you're going on the road. So for Stratford has to do that since they're going into Auburndale's territory. And Auburndale is coming off, I think, a bigger win. They had to go dogfight a double overtime win against Marathon, where Stratford handled Assumption. I think that makes you maybe a little more battle-tested.
And even the other two games, I think, are going to be interesting on Friday in that league. They're always interesting when those South teams get together, but I think that both the Newman-Assumption game has a potential of being, I think, a pretty good offensive showcase, because I think both teams have kids who can fill it up. And then, of course, it's never easy for Marathon when they make that short trek to Edgar.
Yeah, that's a rivalry game going across the highway there a little bit. And I mean, when I saw it, Edgar, I liked, they were physical, they ran the floor, they didn't back down, they were, you know, playing tough as nails type basketball where they're controlling everything and they're going to win the street fight. I like, and you know, Marathon took the tough loss, so coming back looking to finish up that game and keep contention up there in the top of that conference. They don't want to let one slip away to Edgar either. For Newman and Assumption, I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I mean, both those teams are quick to pull the trigger, and they like to light it up, and they got a handful of guys that want to do that for each one of those teams.
And I guess in terms of conference big games, North and Lutheran and Tigerton in the CWC North. I mean, I don't see really the big ones in the Merriwood North or the CWC East coming up, but CWC North, a couple of undefeateds.
Yep, and that's exactly what you want at this. It's playing for the top of the conference. It's 3-0 versus 4-0, and versus Tigerton at 4-0, North and Lutheran at 3-0, and whoever comes out on top sticks the other person with an extra loss and knocks them back a place in the conference.
Yeah, about 2 minutes to go. What do you want to talk about?
You want to go into more game or just things?
No, whatever is on your mind.
I always like to joke with the officials when I'm scorekeeping, and I play like I don't know what's going on. So one of the things I always say, hey, we're going four quarters tonight. And so I've actually had
such a funny guy.
Yeah, but the actual thing is I've actually had a lot of that say they would love to go back to that. Would you want to, if you were headed to the WIA and got to make that decision? Do you see any benefit to that?
I actually asked Nate Lemons about that, because when they went to Florida, they played four quarters, because that's the rules down there. And he said it wasn't a huge amount of difference, but he did have talked with his assistant, and in terms of substitutions and having that break right in the middle, there is a different mindset for a coach. I just don't like the idea of losing any time, because you are losing 4 minutes of game time.
Yep.
That's significant. I mean, if you want to go to 9-minute quarters, then do that. But don't lose part of the game. I really would not.
I agree with
that.
You, bottom line is, you can't lose minutes for the kids.
Exactly.
That game experience is vital for their careers, for program, for everything. It's just all you need. The more time, the better.
Doesn't it feel like though in the quarters it does go by much faster?
Yeah, and I like that. Once I wasn't a big fan right away of the halves. Just thinking of the timeout breaks I would lose between quarters, which is an extra added in timeout. But what I liked was the flow of the game. It just seems to flow nicer. That's just my opinion. Half versus quarters.
I agree. So. Hey, we agree. That's always good. Thanks to our guest, Troy Pieper, the Merrill Blue Jays, and Ava Rohde of the Central Wisconsin Storm. I guess we won't see you next week. But
yeah, sorry. For anybody listening yet, it'll be a hockey show, so I apologize
well,
ahead of time.
I don't know. I'm kidding. I'm putting it all together here.
I'm kidding.
But we'll see you if a miracle happens next week or those in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
That's the Big High School Sports Show on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours, so it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon at the White House, where President Biden is about to deliver his farewell address to the nation. The president will speak directly to the American people as he turns the page from 4 years as president and more than 50 years as a public servant.
The president has a lot to say, a lot of thoughts that he wants to share, really touch on the moment that we're in right now.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the speech will be popular.